Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We're digging a bit deeper into Matthew, and today we're looking at verses 9 down to verse 12. It says, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." So what's going on here? It seems to me that the star rising and going ahead of them reminds me of the pillar of cloud and fire in Exodus 13, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of cloud by night, leading the people of Israel. And here we have some non-Israelites being led by that star to worship Jesus, the one, God with us, as we already know. And they're overjoyed. And then, verse 11, they bow down, they worship, and then they open their gifts. And what is Matthew trying to convey here? What's he trying to get across? I think verse 11 here, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, probably alludes to Psalm 72, for example, verses 10 and 11. About the kings of Tarshish bringing tribute, the kings of Sheba and Seba bringing gifts, bowing down, worshipping, a messianic idea. Verse 15 of the same psalm, "May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long." The kings of these distant lands bringing gifts and tribute to the ruler of Israel, Isaiah 60, verse 6. Herds of camels, young camels, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord, coming in the age to come, bearing gold and incense. There might also be an allusion to Solomon here, and gold and frankincense were firmly associated with the temple that Solomon built, 1 Kings 10, lots of spices and gold and precious stones coming, verse 25 of chapter 10. 1 Chronicles 9, verse 29, special flour and wine, olive oil, incense and spices. 2 Chronicles 9, verse 24 as well. And then even Nehemiah, chapter 13, alluding to the similar ideas of these things being brought to the temple, to a place of worship. Now it's not a place of worship so much as a personal person to worship Jesus the Christ. And so these magi offer these gifts after they worshipped him. I think that's interesting to me as well. They bow down and worship him, then they present the gifts. It seems to symbolize that they're not earning anything from him. He is a baby anyway. They have come to worship and they desire to give him gifts. And then they're warned in a dream. Dreams are important in Matthew. Pilate's wife, of course, was warned in a dream, but Pilate does not heed that warning from Matthew 27, in contrast to a different Gentile or a different group of Gentiles, these magi, who do take note of this dream and go back by a much more difficult route. It would have taken them a lot longer to get home. It was a more dangerous and significantly inconvenient route that would have taken them a little bit south, and then west towards the coast, then along the coast north, and then back to their native land in presumably Mesopotamia. But they do it because they honour God here, as opposed to Herod, the scribes, teachers of the law, and others that should be honouring the Messiah, and yet it is the pagans, the heathens, the Gentiles that do so, and that's a warning in a way that of a thread that runs through the whole of the Gospel of Matthew. Well, next time we'll go on to the next section, but until then, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.